Comics.
Movies.
Music.
Video games.
Technology.
Blu-ray.
Television.
This is the HHWLOD Podcast Network.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. That's www.audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast.
Previously on Out Now with Aaron and Abe.
Smaug.
Smaug.
Smoog.
Smoog.
Smoog? I think it's Smaug.
Smoog.
Smaug.
Shut the f*** up! Wait a minute, I forgot my introduction.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe.
I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe, hello!
Out Now is a film podcast, Abe and I discussing new movies weekly. We also bring discussion about the latest movie trailers, box office results and predictions, a callback to past films similar to the main film of the week, games, and other fun stuff. This is episode 133.
Almost like Scottie Pippen, except 100 times more, or 100 plus more.
Go on. You got
yes.
That? Okay. And today...
Good.
Tonight, we are discussing The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, the second of three Hobbit movies. Joining me to discuss The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, or HDS, we have basically last year's crew minus one. We have, from Fast Film Reviews, he escaped the webs of many spiders to be here tonight, Mark Hoban.
Hi, everyone.
And from FirstShowing.net, he braved a swim through the ice waters of Lake Town to be here, Alex Billington.
What's up? I'm very cold. Please give me a blanket.
Okay. Well,
solar
Alex is
cold.
Okay. But Mark, how are you doing? You warm enough?
I'm doing very good.
Okay, good.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you guys back on the show.
Can we clarify how do you say the dragon's name? I think it's Smaug.
Smaug.
Smoog.
Smoog.
Smoog? I think it's Smaug.
Smoog.
I'm just saying it differently. I'm saying Smaug. Yeah. If I slowed myself down, it sounds like Smaug.
It's actually part of a new drinking game that Aaron and I are doing. It's like, whenever you hear a different variation on Smoog, 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 just take a drink.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
You play like a little audio clip like you've done before in past shows where every time we say that word, there's a little like notification of it.
If I was editing this week, that would definitely happen. Just saying. okay, let's get into it. Here, some announcement stuff. The holidays are coming up. That means our top 10 show will eventually be recorded. I'd imagine Mark will be on that show with us, actually, because he's been on each other one so far. But that'll happen soon enough. In the meantime, all these other movies are coming out all at the end of the year, so we'll be figuring out our schedule for shows. There'll be probably a lot of bonuses, as we've tend to have done during the holiday season.
It'll work out.
Yeah. Also, we released a new commentary today. We said we would last week. That happened. It's for The Matrix Revolutions, the third Matrix movie. Myself, Brandon Peters, and Scott Mendelson all joined in to discuss the franchise in general while watching the third Matrix movie. And it's
if you're thinking why, think why not.
Thank you. Hey, that's exactly the reason. But yeah, it's a solid discussion there, so you can check that one out. What else? Some celebrities passed away today as we record, before we started recording this, so I want to just give mention of those and see if you guys have any thought on this. Peter O'Toole passed away at, what was he, 80, 82, 81?
81, yeah.
81? Yeah. Lawrence of Arabia died. Like, that's a little sad, I'd say.
Yes. Great, great film.
Yeah. He's a great actor in general. He's like a legend.
Joan Fontaine passed away.
Star of Rebecca.
Yes.
and Suspicion. Two great Hitchcock classics.
96.
Ooh. 96, yeah.
Oh, long full life. And lastly, Tom Laughlin, who was star of the Billy Jack films. But Mark and I are discussing this before the show. Apparently he died... If the reports are correct, he died a couple days earlier than today, but it's only now just being reported. So, curious about that, but I guess we'll probably learn more as we read more, in these various obituaries that are being written in the next few days.
Have you guys seen Billy Jack?
I've seen the first Billy Jack.
Yeah, I've seen the first one. I actually really enjoy that film and kind of a... I mean, it's not like a great, great film, but it's sort of like the kind of film that's sort of the blueprint for a lot of action films of today, I feel like.
It certainly has that in there. And I think it was made like as an independent film, too. That's why a lot of it... Like he created that whole franchise himself and everything. I think that's why it gets a lot of regard. Yeah, all of that, quite sad. a lot of people passing away during the holiday season. It's sad, but you know, keep it positive. We got to move up. They're living good lives. So, yeah. iTunes reviews and ratings, good to get those. Helps out the show, helps people find our show. So, you know, log on to iTunes and give us a review, maybe a sentence or so. It'd be great. Helps out.
It's almost like a Facebook thumbs up.
It was almost like that. And let's get into it. Let's get into Know Everybody. Each week at Out There and Abe, we try to ask each other a few questions, try to set the tone for the podcast, and better get to know everybody.
Everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
I was a little slow, but
I forgot too.
He tried though.
That's, no, Mark got it. Yeah.
I like the effort being made. Let's let Mark start this because of that.
Oh gosh. Okay. Aaron. Yeah. Beorn is the skin changer who can assume the appearance of a great black bear. This is in The Desolation of Smaug.
Oh, okay.
If he does indeed become a bear with animal instincts, why doesn't he pose a threat to the group of animals he lives with?
Because they don't have any picnic baskets, of course. That is the...
He's smarter than the average bear.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have anything they want.
Well, I was thinking because they're behind a big wooden gate, but...
I don't have an answer either. It's more a question as to, like, maybe you had some insight.
No. Like, the lack of my reading any of these Tolkien books, let alone the amount of time spent on, like, Big Black Bear for some reason, it perplexes me just as well as you. So I think the picnic basket thing is my best guess.
Oh, I like the answer. It's a good one.
Good. Abe.
Yeah.
What would be your most practical application of fire breathing?
I would say helping a lot of metal workers in the hills of West Virginia or something like that. You know, everyone's got to earn a living, right?
You're still stuck in out of the furnace, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he kind of does some furnace stuff in this one, too. But I don't know. I mean, what would you say?
I asked you, Abe. I don't have to answer these questions.
There you go. There's then my answer.
That's not how Know Everybody works, Abe.
All right. Alex.
Yes.
You're sitting in your lazy boy chair with a cold drink of your choice in hand. Suddenly there's a knock on the door with 13 strangers and an old man with a walking staff asking you to go on an adventure. Do you just drop everything and go out with these strange men?
Is that hell yeah. Are you kidding? yes.
All right.
Need I say more? Of
beardy,
course. We would go have a crazy
beardy
men.
Adventure. They're just like, yeah, hey, Alex, we need you, buddy.
Yeah, of
They're
course.
Pretty. Like, that's more of a... like, yeah.
I would drop everything and go, and then I would come back and tell you what crazy shit happened.
All
and then
with
write a book about it. And one day make a movie about it.
He'd call that movie Divergent, because he didn't have a beard. <He's
different>. Waka waka.
Smoke.
Alex, your turn. You could ask if anyone would date an elf chick. And the answer, of course, would be yes.
Yes, would anyone date an elf chick?
Only if that elf chick was Kate Blanchett.
Oh, that's a good point.
Well, Freckles is doing it for me. I don't know.
Freckles? You mean Liv Tyler's twin?
Yeah, Freckles from Lost. She was doing it for me. We can jump over to Mark.
Abe.
Yeah.
Here's another. This is another question about the movie we just saw. Smaug the dragon taunts Bilbo by saying Thorin cares more for the Arkenstone than he does for Bilbo as a companion. If Smaug has been cooped up in the mountain for more than 100 years, how does he even know who Thorin is?
Oh, he's heard the tales that people have been singing over in the village. They're like, oh yeah, watch out for this guy named Thorin. He's gonna come back to the lonely mountain.
So and... he heard these songs like wafting through the air?
What's the next verse of the song, Abe?
I haven't written it just yet, but Hans Christian Andersen is working on it, you know, very, very deftly. So I think that he's got to go out and eat. So I'm sure that he just hits up the Loch Ness Monster from time to time. They just go out and have a nice casual dinner. and they hear these stories around the campfires, right?
I figured it was like an old boy situation where he has like TV, like it, you know, it's showing him the latest news events.
Yeah, right. He's just stuck in there with all his gold because he doesn't want to go anywhere. Okay,
like
yeah.
He has a subscription to like Lake Town Weekly or something. So, like, he gets a magazine.
I guess because he loves gold so much, the Loch Ness Monster will be paying for dinner. So,
fun fact: I've heard that Smaug the Dragon is actually a big fan of the TV show Two Broke Girls. I don't know why. But
there you go.
That's what I heard.
Much better than Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
Yeah. Oh, that was... I liked that show. I got canceled. it's all on Netflix. I finished it. I finished what they had.
Aaron.
Yeah?
You're going to be placed in Middle Earth, and you're allowed to select what type of creature, person, race, or thing you're going to be. What do you choose to be?
What do I choose to be in Middle Earth?
Yeah. Elf? Wood elf? Hobbit? Wizard? A bird?
Well, screw eagles. I think I've held that thought pretty well. See, everyone seems to be really racist against dwarves, so I don't think I want to be that. Man doesn't seem to have it much better either. They're just like
they've got named like Bard. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's an owl.
The elves are so serious, but geez. Where's I guess I'll take a wizard. Wizard seem to have it made.
Like one of four wizards in Middle Earth.
They seem to be respected. They can go do whatever they want. They get spells and shit like that. You know,
it's like smoke a lot of weed and just hang out with hobbits. There you go. Great answer.
Was it really one of my reasons? But all right.
All right,
Alex.
Yeah.
Favorite kill in this very violent movie.
You mean The Hobbit?
Yeah.
Favorite kill in The Hobbit. Well, only because it's the one that I just saw and I like the most in terms of what happens is when Legolas is like, I think it's right after the barrel riding moment. He like shoots one of them and you see the arrow, you like follow the arrow like through his head, basically. It goes right through him and then the orc just drops dead.
That was a good one.
That was, yeah. I have one.
Yeah?
I like when Bilbo stabs that spider.
Yeah.
Because he does it with a little bit of, I think it's partially... because of the ring and its effect on him, but he does it with almost a little bit of, like, joy, like, at the end there.
I saw some gollum in that one.
Got some vigor in it, huh?
All right. Well, unless Alex has a really stirring question to ask us, I think we've...
Oh, no, sorry, no.
No, we're good. Okay, it's all right. That's how you play Nobody.
Nobody.
Do it on now, quickies.
TM.
He's looking out now. We discuss one main movie, but we always have other movies that we've seen during the week, so we have a 7 called out of quickies.
TM.
Abe, have you seen any other movies this week?
I did. I saw Nebraska with Bruce Dern and Will Forte, and it's a good movie. Pretty solid. Everything that Alexander Payne has been doing has been pretty good so far. And again, this is another character, I guess, dissection. It's very actor-focused. No special effects or anything. But yeah, it's all black and white as well. I highly recommend it.
What do you think, Academy Award nomination for Bruce Dern?
A nomination, sure.
Nomination for sure, yeah. I mean, if they don't, that'd be a bummer because he does a great job in this.
Also, what about June
Squibb? So does his wife, yeah.
June
Squibb seems like she's picking up more momentum than Dern is at this point.
Yeah. Well, because it's so unexpected. I mean, I don't really know who that... I didn't know about that actress, so she definitely stands out in the film.
Absolutely.
She has a lot of, let's say, colorful language.
Yeah, she has a showy role.
Yeah. Oh, I also want to point out that the librarian's just so... She's so sweet. Not the librarian, but the newspaper woman.
Yeah, I liked her too, actually.
So sweet. Yeah,
and there's a look she gives at the end of the film that I...
Yes.
It just really... It really made it work for me. Because I really like that film quite a bit.
Agreed.
Where I think about it.
There you go. TM. Hey.
Mark, have you seen any other movies this week?
Yeah. Or recently? I did. I recently saw Blue is the Warmest Color.
Oh,
and I actually really enjoyed it. It's not a movie for everybody, and it's very long, and there's definitely some parts of it that are a little bit racy, I guess is the nicest way to put it.
Yeah.
But it really it details this relationship in such a raw and honest way, and a lot of the movie is just dialogue, and it's interesting that I'm often the person that says, oh, you know, if it's over 2 hours, I feel like a good editor needs to deal with that. But here's an example of a movie where it could have probably been a little shorter, but I didn't mind the length, and I think some of the scenes go on for a really long time because there are these discussions that the two girls have, and they're actually really interesting. And it's not – I don't know if you were to read the script just on a piece of paper, it may not seem as interesting as these actresses make it out to be. They're really good.
I agree. I haven't talked about Blue's the Warmest Color that much, but I really enjoyed the film as well. Alex, did you see Blue's the Warmest Color?
Yeah, I love Blue's the Warmest Color.
Nice. It's
on my top 10, in my top 5.
Ooh.
Yeah, I love it.
Find out the rest.
It's not out yet, but yes, it's on there.
Do you have any others, Mark?
I also saw The Wind Rises, which is supposedly the final film by
Miyazaki.
Thank you. Hayao Miyazaki. Okay, yeah. And I enjoyed that also. To be honest, I'm not the biggest anime fan, so I'm probably not the best person to ask, you know, whether or not to see an anime film. But I actually did enjoy this. It's actually a little bit more – it's based on an actual person. It's a little bit more biographical and less fantasy-oriented than his other stuff. And I did appreciate the sort of attention to time and detail that the film has. It's definitely in direct contrast to, you know, like a Disney animated film or even Pixar, because it has such a – it's almost like a live-action film. And that makes it kind of interesting to me because it's so different. I liked it quite a bit. I think fans of anime would even view this film as maybe one of the best of the year. But, yeah, that's something I would definitely recommend.
Alex, any movies you've seen this week that you can talk about?
I don't know how much I can really say, but screw it. No, I saw The Wolf of Wall Street a couple days ago. And,
dying to see that.
Yeah, it's some crazy shit, let me tell you. It's 3 hours of, like, pure debauchery, literally.
Yes!
In the most insane way you can imagine, but there's just some wild, wild, crazy good shit in it. And DiCaprio is fantastic. I think Jonah Hill should get special mention for being unique. Like, the whole ensemble cast is unique.
I agree.
There's this, like, Spike Jonze cameo out of nowhere, really? And he's fantastic. Rob Reiner's in it in this great role.
Rob Reiner's really funny in it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's all these people. There's just so much going on in it, and it's just nuts. It's
Matthew McConaughey, how is he?
Great, but he's only in the first bit of it.
He's hardly in it, just like a lot of the supporting cast.
Yeah.
It seems like he's the biggest name that you could also promote on this movie, so they need to play him up, but he's really not in it that much.
It wasn't until like halfway through that I'm like, oh wait, we haven't seen him in a while, we're probably not going to see him again. Because he was good for a brief moment, but no, the rest of it is great. It's nuts. I don't know why people are going so overboard on comparing it to certain Scorsese classics on like Casino level, you know, but it's not, I don't feel like it's that level, but it is good in every possible way it can be, so I support it. And have fun when you're watching it. Do some drugs before me. No, I don't. That was actually the one big one I wanted to see, and then I saw Hobbit again, which we'll get to, so.
Okay. I've seen a few things. Last week I mentioned Man of Tai Chi was coming out to Blu-ray and DVD, and I told Abe that I'm gonna probably go rent that. So I did. I did rent it that night, and I watched it. This is the directorial debut of Keanu Reeves, making just a martial arts movie, and I really liked it a lot. It's just a lot of fun. It's just a solid...
Is it actually good?
Yeah, it's good. It's like a legit, like, fun martial arts movie. It's indebted to a lot of, like, old school martial arts films, but it does the job. If you, like, wanted to see a straight-up martial arts movie, that's not too complicated.
Classic Cam Gigande's Never Back Down?
Yeah, it's better than Cam Gigande's Never Back Down. it's just a solid movie. It's well shot. Yuen Ping's martial arts choreography is just in play here. The action's it's nice to register action sequences in a martial arts movie that you know
I'm,
counts.
I'm highly interested now that you've mentioned Yuen Ping. So
it's good. And I like Keanu Reeves' villain character. It's fun. So.
Cool.
I saw American Hustle, which we'll talk about more in the coming weeks. But it's the second best Martin Scorsese film that I've seen this week. Wolf of Wall Street. I did see as well, and we'll get to that as well, but yes, I also really liked it. I saw Philomena, finally. I feel like I've been putting that off for a bit because of, I don't know, being in Africa. It did. That's the Stephen Frears film with Judi Dench and Steve Coogan. I really liked that film, actually. I thought it was a well-done drama. Mark, I think you've seen that too, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah.
I liked it. Fine.
Yeah.
It's not going to end up in my top 10 or anything, but I thought it was well done. I like Judi Dench in it.
Yeah.
Although, you know, I'm so used to Judi Dench being such a kind of a badass, and in this movie she's not. She's much more.
She's not kicking ass and taking names in this movie.
No, she's a little bit more warm and sweet.
Exactly. I would not have expected that for her.
I like in Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah. Disappearing and everything.
No, I know what you mean, Mark, but yeah. And I agree, probably it won't make my top 10, but I think it's just it's a nice movie. It's a nice drama, and I like what it was doing.
The interplay between her and Steve Coogan is good because they're such kind of opposites on the spectrum of thought. And so how they interact is kind of interesting.
And Steve Coogan co-wrote it, too. I didn't know this at all. Like, I felt like I'm so under the radar on Filomena. Like,
yeah, I think this is kind of a personal project for him. I think he really responded to the actual story.
Yeah, it's based off a true story, yeah. I wasn't going to mention this, but I saw the trailer 4 times this week, so I think I need to now. August Osage County, which is the Meryl Streep, Julie Roberts, and, like, everybody else movie. I'm not going to mention this in terms of rating, but I want to mention this in terms of what's being sold as the trailer, because it's basically being sold as like this good time holiday movie where everyone kind of makes digs at each other, but they're all great together.
Yeah.
And it's not.
We talked about the trailer like a month ago, and the trailer looks incredibly depressing. So
I don't know if you have seen it.
The first trailer was incredibly depressing. The one I'm seeing now, I have seen it. The one I'm seeing now is like really selling up the fact that like you'll probably laugh and have a good time with your family if you see this family that's dysfunctional, but they still love each other. That's not the movie that August Osage County is.
Duly noted. You can't fool me, Hollywood.
Just saying.
I mean, it's written by Tracy Letts, so
yeah, Marcus Robinson's favorite screenwriter.
Yeah, and watch Killer Joe, Bug. He's not.
I mean, it's not that dark, but I mean,
he's not warm and fuzzy though.
Yeah. And I saw Saving Mr. Banks, which I liked more than I expected. I was expecting to. I'll just put it there. There you go. Here's on our quickies.
Tim,
let's do a little trailer talk.
Trailer talk. Oh.
Each week we discuss some of the newest trailers. And what we thought of them when they're coming out. And we got a lot of big ones, actually. We're going to talk about 3 of them. These are the 3 ones that came out from Warner Brothers, which made sense given that they had Warner Brothers had their big Hobbit movie coming out this week. And which order to it? Let's start with Edge of Tomorrow. How about that?
Random reverse order.
Edge of Tomorrow. Yeah. This is the film from director Doug Liman, starring Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt. It's basically Starship Troopers meets Groundhog's Day. That's the quick way to say it. With that said... Shoot over to Alex first. Alex, what do you think of the trailer for Edge of Tomorrow?
I think it's a good trailer. They cut a good trailer. And it's not just a teaser. It's like a full-on trailer. And I don't know. I'm hopeful that it's good. But I'll admit that I have some friends who saw test screenings of it and said it's not good. But that may be just an early cut of it. And it's just like, you know, they put it together. So, I mean, but it's Doug Liman where I'm not that confident in him to begin with, I'll be totally honest. But when I see it, it's like, hey, it could be cool. It could be really cool. It could be, if everything comes together the way it should and the whole like time loop story works the way it should and it all like plays out and by the end you get this cool revelation. Sure. So let's hope it works. I think it looks good.
Mark?
I like Doug Liman. He did a movie called Fair Game a few years ago with Sean Penn and then Naomi Watts, and I actually enjoyed that. And he's done, I mean, he did Go, which I really love, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. So this seems like something that I might be interested in. I wasn't really crazy about Tom Cruise's last movie, but...
Oblivion,
yeah. I didn't care for that very much, but... This seems kind of different, and I also feel like the director will also have some effect on that. So I'm curious about it.
Abe?
It looks interesting, and I don't know how to feel about it because I like everything up until the part where it says, like, live, die, repeat. And I was like, well, this is kind of stupid. Also, it gave me vibes of Source Code, which we talked about. It's like episode number 6 or something like that.
Yeah.
That we did. But the Mech Warrior suits and, you know, I'm a big fan of... I guess these awesome, outlandish robot battles. So, I'm kind of on board, but at the same time, I'm kind of weary too.
I agree with Mark in terms of I like Doug Liman in general, actually.
Like Jumper and everything?
I don't love Jumper, but Jumper is watchable.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
I like Mr. and Mrs. Smith quite a bit.
Port Identity is a great movie.
Port Identity, I mean, he did Swingers, so he gets, like, eternal credit in my book as well.
Right.
Okay,
okay.
And I love Go. The concept, I like time loop concepts. I like seeing that kind of play out. So that has me curious for sure. The trailer, it really started to remind me of Battle LA, our first episode, Abe.
Yeah.
with kind of some of the use of the way it was scored and stuff. So I was like, well, I hope it's not that. But with that said, I mean, I like the basic concept. I like kind of the imagery I was seeing. And I mean, I'm curious for sure. I'm not going to not see it. I like these kind of movies. So, I mean, we'll see where it goes. But yeah, that's Edge of Tomorrow. That formerly titled All You Need Is Kill. And that arrives in theaters June 6, 2014, in 3D, of course. Moving on, let's go to this one. Let's go to Jupiter Ascending. This is a new film from the Wachowski Starship. I'll just read the IMDb description. In a universe where humans are near the bottom of the evolutionary ladder, a young, destitute human woman is targeted before assassination by the Queen of the Universe because her very existence threatens to end the Queen's reign. Epic.
That's deep.
Right? Start with Mark. Mark, what do you think of this trailer?
It looks okay. I'm not super excited about it. I don't know. I feel like it's going to be a little bit of a disappointment, and I can't explain why. But I just I'm not
gut
really...
feelings. I get it.
It's just yeah, I can't explain it. But yeah, that's all I'll say.
Alex,
I'm the exact opposite. But I'm a huge Wachowski apologies. Basically, for and I'll defend any and everything they make, but no, I think I don't know. I'm the exact opposite in that when I see this, I feel like there's something to it that they're hinting at that like we still have no ideas there, and I don't want to say like oh, this is the next Matrix because that's are we ever going to see that? But like there's some cool stuff they're doing in it, and there's like little teases of it, and especially like the. It's sort of a Matrix comparison in the way he starts out, like in the real world, and then they sort of bring him to the other side of like the sci-fi world where he. They explain at one point in the trailer where it says something like, "Oh, when you discover that you're not the only planet in the solar system," or something like that. So there's that cool reveal. I don't know. I think it could be cool, but I have no idea. It's such a weird looking original thing. And then my other concern is that it's such a, like, Snow White story that it could just be the Snow White story, and then that's kind of boring. So I don't want it to be just that. But I think the visuals look really cool. I'm excited for that reason.
Abe?
I'm not super blown away by it either, but I do appreciate, I guess, what they're doing with story. And also, I really appreciate what the Wachowski Starship is doing in terms of films and just... taking chances on things, like the way that James Cameron kind of did Avatar and, you know, just making things out of using technology to its finest, I suppose. So that's where I really appreciate the trailer. But for the most part, I mean, it kind of gave me some vibes of sort of like Pan's Labyrinth as well. It's like almost, Channing Tatum almost looks like a faun or some kind of dude with awesome ears and just taking people to different worlds to save them. So... we'll see what happens, but if anything, I do think that the Wachowski Starship is doing some cool stuff, and I hope that they just continue to do the cool stuff instead of just doing everything that people want to see and it, this or that.
Well, I'd like to see the Wachowskis direct something that wasn't set in the near future. Just go jump out of. I just am a little bit like, okay, we've done the Matrix and V for Vendetta and Cloud Atlas.
See Cloud aspects. Atlas? That had a couple periods in it that they directed.
Yeah, well, and I don't know. I can't remember which ones Tom Twyker did and which ones they did. But
they did the ones in the past and the ones in the future.
Well, Tom did the ones in the past,
did,
right?
No, they did Bound in the very beginning of their career, and that was sort of different. And I don't know. I'd like them to maybe explore something like a crime thriller again or something a little bit out of what they've been doing for the last, you know, whatever. But, I mean, it could be great. I'm not writing it off. It seems so expected of them.
I've been on record. I love the Wachowskis' directorial work. I've liked every one of their movies as far as directing has gone. I think something that they excel at is world building, and that is something that excites me about Jupiter Ascending. Like, regardless of how regardless of if the story is either generic or something completely different, I like the idea of them creating some kind of universe, and I think that that's something that's going to be, that can probably most likely be praised in this film, regardless of how good the actual story of it is. That said, I haven't disliked stories that they've told in their movies either, so I mean, I'm genuinely excited for this. I like what I've seen here. I can't say that the trailer is like the best thing I've ever seen, but it did excite me. And I joked that it was Jane Carter from Jupiter. And but then again, I like John Carter, so we'll see. Jupiter Ascending arrives July 18th, 2014. Another part of the summer. Next, lastly, we have Godzilla. This is the newest rendition of Godzilla, now directed by Gareth Edwards, who helmed the indie flick Monsters from a few years back now.
With a Z?
With a Z, yeah, that's how it was. It was a backward Z, too. It was crazy. This film stars Aaron Johnson, Elizabeth Olsen, Bryan Cranston, Ken Watanabe, among others. And it's just a, you know, another modern take on the Godzilla movie. I assume that there's less Hank Azaria this time around, but I'd kind of be sad if that was true. With all that said, let's start with Abe this time. Abe, what do you think of this trailer?
The use of 2001 Space Odyssey was a great idea. The only thing is, yeah, I don't know if it's going to live up to those expectations. I mean, we've seen the previous Godzilla. Huh? No, I mean, just in terms of I don't really know this guy's directorial qualities. I haven't seen Monster.
I said, who said 2001 Space Odyssey? Where'd that come from?
Isn't that the music?
Yeah, in the trailer.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, when they're doing the plane jump, so.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You're right. Yeah, I was blanking. My bad.
That's right. A lot of great visuals. I'm kind of a little bit concerned about the storyline. I don't know what's going to happen here, but the visuals look great. Again, I don't know the directorial qualities of this director. But I think he's been doing a lot of visual department stuff. So a little bit of a concern, but at the same time, good on you, because you made a pretty cool trailer. So yeah, I hope that it's good. I hope, like, fingers crossed.
Alex?
aside from Interstellar, this is my favorite trailer of all that will release this week, just because it's such a, like, excellently cut trailer to build excitement. You know, the way it opens with this drop with these guys, and, I mean, it made me think that, speaking of the story, I was wondering the same thing. I'm like, what is the story going to be if we know it's Godzilla and the guy is there? Like, what are we going to follow these guys around? And I was thinking, like, wouldn't that be cool if the movie starts out and that's what happens, is they drop these guys in and he's basically like already attacked the city, and you follow this group of like soldiers as they try to sort of find people and get out and like figure out what's going on with these monsters and whatever. My only thing with it, and I have to say this because I think, Aaron, I don't know if you were there at Comic-Con, saw the footage too.
I saw both of them. Both.
Yeah, but I'm a little bit frustrated that we know, because we've seen it at Comic-Con, there are multiple monsters in this movie, all right? I'm going to put it out there. I'm sorry if you didn't. Yeah, I know, but it's like, I think they're going to try and cover it up, but I think it's just part of the movie, and it's like a part of the plot in a sense, where it's not a spoiler, it's like part of what happens. And I'm mm-hmm. worried that they're going to try and cover it up for too long, when it's like they should be hinting at it in the way they did at the Comic-Con footage. Like, there should have been one little shot where you're like, oh, that's not a Godzilla leg. Like, who could that be? But no, of course, it was like just the same Godzilla shot from 2.5 years ago. So it's like they were doing great, and then they replayed the last footage in the end of it, which I'm like, no, why more of this? We've seen it. That's my only complaint. But otherwise, it's a great trailer. I love it.
Mark?
I think there's sort of an inherent difficulty to market a film called Godzilla, because people sort of already know what that is. And
yeah.
I don't know how people feel about the 98 film by Roland Emmerich, but
one of the best ever, right?
Yeah, I don't have rosy recollections of that. And it's still kind of fresh in my mind, even though I looked it up, came out 15 years ago, which is like, you know, a long time ago. But somehow it still seems fresh in my mind. With that said, though, the trailer is pretty good. I mean, they did a really good job of kind of giving it kind of a mysterious, I don't know, they did a good job of it. And it, in fact, I watched the trailer, I didn't even know what I was watching at first, and I was kind of like, oh wow, this looks kind of interesting. And then it kind of hits you with Godzilla at the end and the lizard like making a sound, and I kind of like, oh, I sort of checked out a little bit at that point, but up until that moment I was kind of on board. So
you know, the good job on the person who cut the trailer, because it's really well done.
I agree that I think the trailer is very well done. I've been excited about this movie just because of my involvement with Comic-Con, it's not obviously not going to influence obviously not everyone can be influenced in the same way that we have been. But with that said, I think it's a very good trailer. but something I like about it is it seems like it's treating it like a disaster movie, which is how it pretty much should be treated. And in the same way that I guess World War Z could be considered a disaster movie more than a zombie movie. But with that said, World War Z has source material that I was frustrated with the movie because of. This doesn't really have that, besides the fact that you just need a giant lizard and, you know, social commentary to go with it. So I like that there's, you know, a fresher way to come at this story, and it seems like they're trying to approach it that way. Gareth Edwards, I like monsters quite a bit. That doesn't necessarily make me think, oh, he can easily do a Godzilla movie, but, you know, so from what I've seen so far, I'm excited about it. So, yeah, I like the trailer quite a bit. A good cast going on here, too. I mean, we haven't seen really much of anything from them in this trailer. It's just kind of a teaser, but we'll see. Yeah, Godzilla, that opens May 16th, 2014. So, yeah, we got trailers from May, June, and July. So we're done with that. All right, let's move on. Got that out of the way here. Let's get to it now. Let's get to our main review of The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
Smaug.
There is no king under the mountain, nor will there ever be.
It will not end here. With every victory, this evil will grow.
Legolas has grown very fond of you. Do not give him hope where there is none.
You have no right to enter that mountain.
I have the only right. We've been blind. In our blindness, our enemy has returned.
I found something in the Goblin Tunnels.
What did you find?
My courage.
Good. You'll need it.
That should have been some of the trailer for The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. This second out of three Hobbit films picks up where the first left off. The collective of dwarfs, one wizard, and one hobbit continue on their path to the Lonely Mountain. With new obstacles in their way during their journey, Gandalf actually makes his exit early on as he goes to explore evil elsewhere. But new characters are introduced as well, including Evangeline Lilly as a she-elf, Lee Pace as a king elf, and Orlando Bloom making his return as the flipping elf, among others. All of this leads to an eventual confrontation with Smaug, the stupendous dragon who is awoken from his slumber and all fiery about it. Alex Billington, were you impressed with Jackson's handling of the middle chapter of this trilogy?
Oof. Posing me tough questions.
No, I liked it. It's so hard, and I'm happy to talk about it, but it's so weird to sit here and know that, you know, a year from now we'll finish the story and it will be completely different having seen all of it together and the extended versions. Because it's like, I enjoy this one, but it's such a, like, tease, I hate to say. But that said, there are some fantastic moments in it. I love the whole barrel riding sequence, and I love everything with Smaug in the last 30 minutes. there's a lot of great stuff to it, and I like that it moved a lot more swiftly than the first movie. As in I mean, obviously that's because we're already on this adventure, but it just sort of starts and you're already going and there's a lot to go through, and it's a great journey and I had a great time. I enjoy it quite a bit. I love spending time in Middle Earth, and this was a good time in Middle Earth. Though I admit I do want to see the extended versions. I wish I could watch them right now.
Mark?
I liked it fine, but I was actually less impressed with this episode. And I
really
kind of, yeah, and I think one of the things that I kind of realized as I was watching it, Peter Jackson is more concerned with making a prequel to Lord of the Rings than actually recreating The Hobbit. And that has sort of influenced everything that he does about this film. And it becomes this, I mean, we can keep bringing up the same sort of problems with the series as people have brought up in the first time around. But we're taking a story that is a children's book that is very short. I mean, you could read that book in probably like 2 hours. and stretching it out into like a close to a 9-hour thing. So it's becoming very big, and there's not a whole lot happens in this story. I mean, there's more events and there's more action, and it gets to the action faster. I agree with all of that. But what happens? I mean, they fight some spiders. They go down in the barrels, and there are different vignettes in the film that are exciting. But added up as a whole, I just sort of feel like, wow, this is basically 5 chapters of a book stretched out to almost 3 hours. And I was really, by the end, I was checking my watch like every 10 minutes. I was ready for this thing to be over. And I still appreciated the film, and I'm going to be there for the third entry. And, you know, I like aspects to it. But I was definitely – I was disappointed by the film overall, and I feel like there were definitely probably a lot of flaws that could have been remedied with maybe some editing and a little bit more – I don't know. He's just – I feel like I said it in the beginning of my little rant, but he's really making a prequel to Lord of the Rings, and that's not – and maybe because I've read The Hobbit – that's sort of influencing my view, but I have to review it as my own take on it, and I just don't feel like it is The Hobbit anymore.
Quick question: does this change your regard at all for the first film?
Well, the first film, you know, I had problems with the first hour. I felt like it took forever to get started. But then once that happened, I thought there actually were more affecting moments. The discussion between Bilbo and Smeagol was really good. Like, that was a highlight of that film, and I enjoyed it a lot. The discussion between Bilbo and the dragon at the end, not really, I wasn't really feeling it. I actually was kind of bored with it. I thought the dragon was beautifully animated. I will give it that, and I thought it's Benedict Cumberbatch does a great job at speaking the lines, and that's all a modern marvel of CGI. But as far as an affecting character that I was drawn into and really cared about what they were saying, wasn't feeling it.
Abe?
I'm kind of there with Mark, and I don't have as much disdain for it. I don't know if it's disdain. I didn't like it.
Well,
I didn't dislike it as much as Mark.
I don't have disdain for it. I mean, I did like it, but I really had high expectations, and I actually kind of walked into the film based on people saying it was better than the original, and me loving the original, thinking, okay, I'm going to walk out of this just like ready to give it 5 stars, and it was far from 5 stars.
Hmm. I kind of walked into the film kind of thinking this is the middle of the piece. There's probably going to be some action sequences, but I know that there's a third one coming up, so they can't give me everything. But even going into it, I don't know if I wasn't excited for anything that happened in the movie, and that's kind of what I left away, or that's kind of my big takeaways. There was just nothing in it that really interested me until you get to Smaug, and that's probably the best part of the movie. And I feel that way largely because you have so many characters in this one, more than just the dwarves and Frodo and Gandalf in the first one. You have all these elves, you have all these humans, you have these Uruk-hai, all these orcs, etc. And also, everyone has a weird adventure that they go on in themselves, and it becomes very much, like, I don't know, it becomes very piecemeal to some degree, because you don't really do too much with Frodo, you don't really do too much with Bilbo as much. He's there, and he does save the day from time to time, but it's not so much a tale of lighthearted happiness and fun. There's no songs in this one, there's no Goblin King, there's no, like, fun eating sequences. It's all very serious.
We needed more Goblin King this time.
Well, I'm just saying, like, he's got a song in the first one, and that one I wasn't expecting, but I was like, hey, cool.
In the extended version he does. I didn't see any song in the regular version.
Oh, true. Yeah, in the extended version.
He does.
Yeah. But for the most part, it's kind of a tale of everybody in the second one, and that I kind of was not that thrilled about. So, I mean, I'm waiting for the third one, and I really liked the Smaug stuff. I mean, the CGI is great. Martin Freeman does a great job as Bilbo. Like, there are some moments where he just does things with his face. But for the most part, yeah, it's so many things are happening in this movie. And also, stupid love triangles are occurring, which I don't think need to be there. So I don't hate it, but I certainly wish that they had made it a little bit more concise.
Yeah, there's a lot of movie here, that's for sure. I re-listened to our podcast last year that we did for the first Hobbit movie, and I was alone in my thoughts of it just being merely average. And despite the world, despite going back to Middle Earth, which I enjoy, and despite having the Gollum scene, among other things that I appreciated about the film, I was kind of like, yeah, all right, that's, yeah, let's see what's going on next. And I really wanted this film to be like the Two Towers of the series. By that I mean, because I like the Two Towers more than Fellowship. So I wanted this one to be like, yeah, this is even better than the last one. And I kind of like the last one. And it just was more of the same. That was my reaction to it. Like, it certainly has a... It moves at a better clip, I guess, just because a lot of the setup's out of the way. And, like, it has obvious highlights, like the river barrel sequence and Smaug and other things. But it just, like... It comes down to, I don't really care about this story all that much, and I'm just watching a movie that's about setting up puzzle pieces on a game board so I can be ready to see what's going to happen in the end game for the next film. And that's, you know, it's fine because the action's pretty rousing and there's some fun to be had, but I'm not really into this, to what's going on here, it's because, as Mark's kind of pointed out, it's really stretching the material thin here, and so... I don't care about a lot of these characters. I don't know the names of most of these characters. I just, you know, if there's a recognizable actor, I'll be like, oh, there's Stephen Fry. All right, that's nice. I mean, you get... There's Luke Evans. Who I liked, actually. I think his Bard was...
Oh, we'll get to Bard.
Despite not caring for, like, the 3 hours of Lake Town that I was spending.
And listen to me! You must listen! Have you forgotten what happened to Dale? Have you forgotten those who died in the firestorm? And for what purpose? The blind ambition of a mountain king. So riven by greed, he could not see beyond his own desire! You have no right. No right to enter that mountain.
He's going to be very important in the third one.
Oh, I know. It was very obvious from the not very careful setting up of, oh, the dragon has one weakness and there's ancestors and blah, 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 blah. It's very painfully obvious what's going to happen in these next movies, even though I haven't read the material. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe we'll do some kind of pull some great trick and I'll find out something new. But
they're gonna usual suspect you. Your coffee mug's just gonna drop as you're watching.
Yeah, Bard was Smaug the whole time.
Oh my gosh. He lost his limp.
But there's a lot like, so okay, I'll say this, because last year I had a problem with Thorin, gruffy old Thorin, and I was also standing alone in this. And this, so like the one of the few things this movie did like a lot better was it gave me reason to care about Thorin, like.
The movie should be called Thorin.
Yeah, the Thorin.
Not The Hobbit.
Thorin and Bilbo Adventures. Yeah.
You can listen to this naysayer, but I promise you this. If we succeed, all will share in the wealth of the mountain. You will have enough gold to rebuild Escaroth 10 times over!
But it wasn't, there's like with Lord of the Rings and Aragorn's character. It wasn't called that, though, but you got his story.
I mean, the third one was called The Return of Aragorn. I mean, the king. I know what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously an all-encompassing kind of thing. This one, I mean, I know what you're, like, Abe, you kind of, or who said it? Someone said it. Like, Martin Freeman, like, Mark said it. The Hobbit's not really in The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, all that much. He has his moments.
Yes, that too.
But I do think
And Martin everything Freeman he does is responding to Thorin's commands. Like, Thorin says, go into the, you know, mountain and do this. And in the book, it's a little different, but.
It's like Cinderella. Do the dishes. Do the mopping.
Okay.
They always keep her hopping.
I was going to say, what do you want, though? Do you really want him to divert from the book so much where, like, it becomes Bilbo's quest of his own? I don't know. That would be weird.
No, I want them to stick to the book. I wish it was one movie. I wish he would have just directed one, like, two-hour movie.
I'm curious what it would have been if it was the original two movies that they were planning. Just because you're adding all these other, like, you're adding the Toriel character played by Evangeline Lilly, who I like quite a bit, but, like,
That's an interesting thing, too, because, like, I'm kind of playing both sides of the field here, because I actually liked Toriel. I actually liked that love triangle of Toriel.
Do
and
you?
I know this doesn't make any sense,
yeah.
Because none of that is in the book. That is just all added.
Well,
it's
just strange because all the elves hate dwarves, and so here's...
There's a lot of dwarf racism in this
movie. They have, like, one scene where it's like, hey, look, here's a magic ring my mom gave me, so I'm going to give it back. It's like... Oh, let me tell you about everything I love about Starlight. It's like, okay.
But I think that was some rare that was a rare moment where actors actually got to act, where Killy and Toriel and Legolas, there is some actual human emotion, but elf and dwarf emotion, in being imbued into the script. Whereas so much of the picture is, let's fight spiders, let's float down the river in barrels, you know, let's do this, and let me climb to the top of this tree and see butterflies flying around. And those are all gorgeous scenes, and I enjoyed the look of them. But it's just, I think, Abe, you said piecemeal. It's just like a bunch of scenes strung together, that's why I like the first one better, because it was the setup. And it was like, oh, here are the different people, and let's get to know them. This is just like, okay, we're not even going to bother with getting to know these people now. We're just going to throw different adventures at the screen and just see what sticks.
That's why I like the extended versions, because as weird as it is to say to add more clarifies what you're talking about. He, in the extended, he almost like fills in those gaps where you're wondering where's more character pieces. Like, there are moments where I'm watching it, literally thinking, like, oh, we just skipped a piece where I'm going to see 10 minutes later on, but for now I don't have anything, and we just go to the next scene. And then it feels like exactly what you're saying, which is these straight from set piece to set piece.
And I definitely agree with you, Alex, because if you watch the Lord of the Rings extended stuff, that storyline makes much more sense, especially in the Fellowship of the Ring, than the theater cut. And so there is a lot of more character development, because Sam and Frodo are developed a little bit more. And I'm sure – I haven't watched the extended cut of The Hobbit, but perhaps, you know –
I have. It's good.
I don't disagree that there's more stuff that is explained.
Yeah.
But, we mentioned that there was Thorin, and it should be named Thorin. It should also be named Legolas, because
– Oh, my God. Don't get me started with Legolas.
That guy plays, they just give that guy, like, tons of stuff to do in this movie. And that's part of my complaints, is just –
And
why?
He's not in The Hobbit. That character,
oh, he's not. Okay.
That's Peter Jackson trying to make this into a prequel. He has no business being in The Hobbit. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, I agree with that too, because there's a point actually I wanted to bring up. I do agree with Mark on that point of, hey, why is this so much like The Hobbit, or why is this so much like Lord of the Rings when it should just be its own separate film? And one of the things that I didn't like was when they talked to one particular dwarf and they're like, who's this? Your brother? It's like, no, that's my wife. It's like, who's this? Your brother's brother? It's like, no, that's my son, Gimli. It's like, give me a break.
It's fan service. I don't mind that kind of stuff necessarily. I mean, it's like a scene like that doesn't take, like, it doesn't take 18 minutes to go through. The Legolas stuff.
It got a laugh, too.
It does. I got a laugh in my theater and a little applause. The Legolas stuff is just like, I don't mind him being in it if he's going to serve some kind of function, but here he just kind of glowers when some dwarf's looking at his girl, and like, that's like all he's doing, and he's doing these awesome like fight moves, and I'm like, when did Lego, like, he doesn't have Gimli to bounce off of, so there's just nothing to this guy now. Now he's just this guy that's kind of a dick because he's just jumping over and doing like the most elaborate parkour moves possible in order to solve his problem.
Cool. He's a super cool elf.
Well, yeah, but now it just seems cocky as opposed to like playful fun with him and Gimli trying to one-up each other.
Just his action sequences, the way that they're choreographed.
Yeah, because Peter Jackson's a good action director.
There was continued use of Legolas throughout the second and third acts of the film. It's just, he's there a lot.
I know he's, give me a dwarf that could do these same kind of moves and stuff. I'd watch that.
But then he's been shot with an arrow. One of the things that I was also laughing a lot about, and let's get to Bard, is just, Bard is a cool guy. Yeah, he's a cool character because he's a human, but the first time I see him, I thought he was an elf because he uses a bow. Later, this is like, nobody in the theater laughed, but I laughed when his son and he are in the kitchen. He's like, he pulls a black arrow from the ceiling. It's almost as if, like, kids, you guys have never noticed there's a black arrow in your dad's kitchen the entire time you guys have been alive.
There are some drapes and stuff on it. What are you talking about?
But he just pulls it down like lickety split. He's like, I gotta do it. I know what I gotta do. It's like, come on.
Yeah, and then 5 minutes later, he like gives it to his kid. He's like, hide it until future use.
Set up for some suspense. I like the town and, you know, I like the setup of it, but it was weird to have Stephen Fry's character and also Moriarty from BBC Sherlock there. Just because, again, they provide very little context for me to know who these people are and why I should care about them. So I just thought that it was just too much of an influx of these side characters.
And that's like the weird thing. Like I spent like a whole bunch of time in Lake Town where I'm trying to get to know this Bard character among the others, and I feel like shouldn't I like already know like the rest of the movies, the rest of these characters from the first movie, and I don't even know them that well, yet I'm getting like more new characters and spending more time with them than I have with like any of these dwarves in this movie besides Thorin and I guess Balin. It's just there's a lot of weak characterizations here, like as opposed to like Lord of the Rings, where I liked all of these other people. I knew who they all were, and I don't know who all these dwarves are still. I don't know what Legolas is all about. I don't like there's all these different characters. There's this story that like goes. It's just like, hey, let's keep going, and we got to the mountain, so that's good, I guess. But like,
do you think it would be better if they just cut out some of those characters, or just don't deal with them? I mean, just have them in the background or something.
I don't know what the solution is, and I'm not a filmmaker, so I don't have to worry about that. But I mean, I know what doesn't work for me, and what doesn't work is seeing this movie that seems very obviously like it should have been one or two movies being turned into three movies, and it's very thin because of that. Just regardless of how great the effects are, regardless of how great the action sequences are.
So one of the things I liked about the first movie is that you kind of get a feel for Bilbo is this sort of nobody. He's just this guy plucked from obscurity, and he's got to kind of come into his own.
And he's Alex in a Lazy Boy.
And I got that from the first film. But in this one, I don't know. It didn't seem like the character of Bilbo was dealt with very much. He already started at the – he wasn't a nobody because we've already seen him in the first movie. So we know he's somebody. And he's starting to kind of come into his own. But I don't know, maybe it's because I've read the books, but there should be more about the ring and how he's starting to use it more and how it's starting to corrupt him. And I don't think you get a feel for that in this movie.
I feel like I got that. I don't think that was gone from the movie. I would agree that there's not really like an arc for his character in this film alone, as opposed to like you get an arc for Frodo, among others, in the Fellowship, and you get an arc for Frodo again in Two Towers, among others. I would agree that there's not really a... I mean, obviously, I think Thorin probably gets the most arc in this movie, and maybe Tauriel, I guess, the character that doesn't exist in the books.
Evangeline Lilly, I mean, she's very good in the role, but that she's a big part of this film. I mean, I feel like she is actually her story, and then also Thorin, as we mentioned. Those are, like, the main characters, and Bilbo is kind of in the background. At least that's how I took the film.
Again, I agree that Bilbo is more in the background in a film called The Hobbit, but I would say that I did get a sense of the ring corrupting him. I wouldn't say that that's absent.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Plus, it all leads to him getting to Smaug, and that's his big showdown.
Yeah.
That's his shining moment. No,
what did you guys like better, the conversation between him and Smeagol in the first film, or the conversation between him and the dragon?
I like the dragon conversations just because they are so, like, the dragon is so dark. It just, like, wants to mess with him and then kill everyone. Whereas Gollum, you're like, you just had a couple riddles, which we all are familiar with.
They're both series highlights to me. I can't really... For me, it's not something that I can just separate into, like, this one was better than this one. But, I mean, if I have to break these films down into, like, things that I like about them, there's just only a few things I can name about each of these films that I like that I think are good enough for me to recommend the film overall, which I do, because I do think that by default, this movie's better to me because there is more action, and if we're going to not have good characters and have weak story, then I might as well have something to, you know, keep me going. So the action is plentiful, and so I like that. And then you have the Smaug stuff, which is good, too.
I mean, it looks great. I mean, the film is, as expected, incredible.
Here's a question. How did everyone view the film this time around?
In 3D?
In 3D, with HFR, without 3D?
I couldn't find anywhere with HFR. I don't know what...
So you decided straight 3D?
Yeah, the first time I was forced 3D, and then most recently, I would have taken HFR, but I couldn't find it within... too far of and it's weird. It's like I'm sure they're trying to hide it, but Abe, I would have liked to see it in HFR.
I saw it in regular 2D.
Mark, I assume you went for the 2D, right?
Of course. Okay. I saw it too. You know, it's funny too, when I'm watching it in 2D, there was a scene with that the bumblebee and it's like flying on the screen. I'm like, oh, okay, this is a 3D. It reminded me. Like, oh, wait,
those arrows.
I saw it 3D IMAX HFR. Because I hated the HFR the first time around, and I hated it again, but I didn't want to see it HFR. However, they switched the projectors in my IMAX, so I no longer have, like, a nice giant IMAX that's film. It's a digital IMAX projector now. So now it's a IMAX in disguise of having a giant screen.
And why did they do that?
Because it's an old projector, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
But regardless, I don't care for the high frame rate at all this time. Like, same with last time, and I'm aware that Peter Jackson says he softened it this time as opposed to last time, but it still is the same exact problem with me, and it makes some of the action look good. I think the smog stuff looked quite good, except when there's gold involved. I think gold looks terrible in CG, apparently.
Oh, bummer.
But again, it has that same kind of, like, everyone's moving at, like, 1.5 speed as opposed to, like, 1 speed, and it worked in parts of the barrel sequence, but again, it's all the daylight stuff, especially where it seems the most problematic. Like, in dark scenes, like, it works kind of, but I can't. It's not something I got used to. It's not something where I'm like, oh, all right, it's been an hour. I hardly notice it. I notice it the entire time. So I don't know. I'm curious what audiences are thinking of HFR. But
you know, I haven't heard as much press about the HFR this time around.
Because there's no reason to this time. Like, the first time, it was the first time
they're
it was done.
Covering it up.
Yeah.
Well, no, they're covering it up. They're for press in HFR. They're barely showing it in HFR. Like,
it's a combination of people being, like, thrown off by it the first time and not having the greatest reaction to the first Hobbit the first time.
Yeah.
With the exception of you three. And
I'll support it, but as I said, I obviously can't find it. But, I don't know. I haven't seen it that way, so I can't say.
We haven't talked about Gandalf at all. What do you think of Gandalf in this film?
I have a question for you, Mark. Alex, did you read the book as well?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I read the book a long time ago, but I don't remember too much of it. But I don't remember Gandalf going on a super awesome adventure to go find what's going on here.
No, that's definitely a diversion. But
see, that's a question I have, though, like, because I know that some of that stuff's coming from the Silmarillion and things like that. But and so in The Hobbit, does Gandalf just not just leave and there's no explanation as to where he goes?
You know what? I don't remember why he left.
But does he in fact just leave and we just don't hear from him again until...
That is true, yeah.
Okay.
Well, regardless, I mean, Gandalf's adventures on his own are kind of cool just because you see how awesome of a wizard he is. But at the same time, it's like, again, why? You're making this a Lord of the Rings thing. And they even bring in Sauron at some point. It's like, why?
Also not in the book.
Yeah, it's like, I don't need to see this eye repeated like
Well, from what I understand, it's the stuff from the Silmarillion and the things, that the connecting pieces that connect it to the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it's all leading up to something big in the end.
Which is true, and I mean, I could appreciate him connecting all of his films together, so you can spend like 36 hours watching them straight, but, I mean, you know.
The Necromancer, I think, was mentioned, but just in passing, and from what I remember, only in passing in The Hobbit. And in this film, it occupies a larger portion of the film. And then there's a part where Gandalf is looking at him, and then he whispers Sauron, like, just in case you're not sure, just to connect those two, which is also not in The Hobbit. And I thought that this is just something probably only annoys me because I read the book, but that's not in the book, and I guess they're trying to make the connection between the Lord of the Rings and this. So that's
you keep mentioning it's not in The Hobbit, but I keep mentioning that it is in other material that Tolkien wrote that connects these two universes together.
Like, Universe
Eye? It's not coming out of nowhere.
Oh,
like, it is from
he didn't
somewhere.
Just make it up. Yeah, I understand that. But it's sort of like, it's kind of like Peter Jackson's The Hobbit instead of...
Yeah.
Well, definitely.
But to answer your question, Aaron, I mean, I definitely enjoyed Gandalf's adventures, and I'm partial to the Nine, the Ring Wraiths, because they were cool in the Fellowship of the Ring. So when he, yeah, all that. So when he goes to investigate, like, all the Nine prisons are like broken up or broken open. I was like, oh, this is cool. But yeah,
He just fights Azog. Azog, who's everywhere.
Oh, Kratos.
That guy's hilarious though.
I liked him more this time around, just because he, like...
Were his birds in 3D?
Even though it's just, like, nothing but CG, just talking to other pieces of CG. It's like, alright, that's something, I guess. What bothers me is that there's no stakes here. Like, it's not like I think Gandalf's gonna die at any moment, or, like, be trapped forever in some kind of cage and become a skeleton like everybody else in that castle.
Why didn't the necromancer kill him though? I don't get that.
I don't get
seems
a lot
like
of
he had the him. Ability to do it and he didn't, and I couldn't figure out why is he keeping him alive in that cage.
I have no idea, especially because
he's got some fine wizard weed,
because we know like evil Christopher Lee's like up to no good too. Is like he knows what Gandalf's capable of. Like I don't understand a lot of things involving Gandalf, so I can only hope that the third film really goes into
it won't
what
psyche of Gandalf. It will explain something.
All right. anything else you want to say about The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug?
Go see it later.
Yeah, I almost want to say, like, wait until the next movie's out and then see.
Yeah. Because they leave you on kind of a cliffhanger, like, come on, guys.
Kind of.
Yeah, I got to say, like, that is, as much as I will say I enjoyed the movie, the biggest cock tease of the year is this freaking ending. Yeah.
I would agree with you, because I thought about that in the theater. I was like, super blue balls here, man. It's called The Desolation of Smaug.
And it's such, it's like, he's like, I'm ready to go fight. And then it's like, oh, wait, you have to see it.
What have we done?
Yeah.
There was a laugh in the theater, and I'm not sure if they were laughing because they just liked it, or if they were laughing because, oh my gosh, this is ending right here, and we're ready for the next
I think
chapter.
People are laughing because they're like, they're actually pulling this. Like, everyone knows. They're like, oh my,
there was a lot of there was a lot of gasps in my theater and ohs, but
gasps.
Yeah. I gotta say, I didn't mind it that much, mainly because I'm like, well, we've gone on a while here. I don't think we're gonna go to Lake Town again.
Like, oh god, you know, with the trailers and everything, it ended up being like 3 hours. I was kind of like, okay, I'm actually was glad.
I kept thinking, like, how long is this movie?
Yeah, well, I was thinking that too, and then I was like, oh, I guess, you know, they have to leave it up here.
It comes down to, because I don't know where the story's going necessarily either, besides what things have to happen, but I'm like,
you sound like you do know where it's going.
Oh, I know how things have to be handled, because the movie's painfully obvious in setting up how things have to be handled. But in terms of, like, when things happen, I guess, and where, and things bending, I mean, there's things about it that still elude me, but, I mean, I'm not about to read ahead either, because I'm just stubborn that way, so I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see
you
next
win this
year.
Time, Peter Jackson.
Next December, when we all rejoin once again and talk about There and Back Again. But for now, let's get what else?
No, I was gonna say I'm curious to see if we all see the third movie in it, like, for some whatever Peter Jackson brilliance pulls off, he makes it like all work together cohesively better than it does individually. And I'm very curious to see if like upon review next year we're like, oh, you know, this part wasn't as bad in the second movie because it leads to this and
I'd be surprised,
you know,
because like I saw Return of the King, it didn't make me like Fellowship more, and I know I'm in the minority because I don't think Fellowship's as good as the other two, but like,
you're wrong.
I can say unequivocally it's not going to change my opinion of this film, but I am open to the fact that I may love the third movie. So I mean, I like the first one. And then this one I didn't like as much. So the third one I'm open, but it's not. Nothing will change my opinion of what I've already seen, because that exists. That's its own entity.
I mean, the third one by default has to be just very satisfying, because it's going to close off a lot of emotional beats and everything.
Yeah, I hope so.
It's actually going to leave on a cliffhanger.
Probably.
Maybe the Hobbit Part 2.
I want to see how obvious the setup is for the next.
I'm waiting for him to come out.
Yeah. He's like, surprise, I actually split up into four movies.
Right. He's going to do like what's it called? The Hunger Games. We're going to split it up into two parts or something.
The Hobbit There and The Hobbit Back Again.
Bring your jam and toast.
All right, let's get to our rating. All right. Each week at Out Now, there today, we try to rate films based on when you should go and see them. And we have a scale that goes from IMAX, theater, Dolby Theater, Netflix, HBO TV, forget about it. We start, Alex, on that scale, where would you put The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug?
Aside from what I just said about waiting till next year, dollar theater, I guess.
Mark?
Gosh, I was actually going to say theater, even though I sounded more negative about it.
I would say it
was theater, because I think it deserves to be seen on the big screen. Definitely in a theater, at least, some kind of theater.
Okay. Abe?
Find the biggest dollar theater you can and just wait a couple weeks.
Yep.
I mean, I'd give it a theater. I mean, you want to go. It's a big holiday adventure movie, and it has its issues, but, like, I want to see it look great, so.
Yeah, no, you can see it great on a dollar theater.
You can.
But the it's seats the won't thing, be very comfortable.
The yeah, the seats won't be very comfortable.
Yeah, they get gum and stuff on them. Yeah. It's not great.
Let's get to our movie callback.
Callback.
You mentioned a couple films that might have related in some way to the film that we thought of while watching or afterwards. Mark, you have any callbacks?
Well, I kind of decided that Lord of the Rings is to The Hobbit what the original Star Wars trilogy is to those prequels.
Fair. Abe?
Definitely a lot of Sherlock stuff, BBC, and as well as, what's-his-face, the other guy, Married to Madonna, passed, but, also...
Guy Ritchie?
Yeah, Guy Ritchie films, yeah, and because of Stephen Fry.
I was gonna say, it's like, because neither of them are, okay, yeah.
No, Stephen Fry, yeah, as his brother. And also Dragonheart, because the way that they designed the dragon very much reminded me of Dragonheart.
Alex, any movies you thought of?
Yeah, well, no, he just said Dragonheart, because... Whenever I see dragons in movies, like if it's a good dragon, the first thing that comes to mind is like I want to sit down and instantly compare every dragon to every other dragon I've seen and be like, oh, which one is it really look better than this one? Because Dragonheart was what, like 1996? That was a while ago, and it still looks great.
A long time ago,
Yeah, and I would love to see, like, does it really look that much better? Is Smaug just, or is it just like, oh, it's another cool dragon, but.
It's not,
that was the only, yeah.
It's not D-War good with Craig Robinson. Two Towers, Reloaded, Catching Fire, all those came to mind. Rain of Fire, because I hate that movie, but still, like, we know dragons. And yeah, Sherlock, because Watson and Sherlock are back together again.
Basically.
Wait, who's the Sherlock guy?
Am I Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, you just mean from Smaug? Okay. Yeah.
Smaug.
Because I thought you were talking about Stephen Fry's like little slimy assistant in this.
Yeah,
one.
That guy.
That's Moriarty.
Who is that guy? Moriarty. Okay.
James Moriarty in the BBC version.
Okay, because I haven't seen him, and this guy, I already want to punch him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to punch him more than I want to punch Wormtongue from the first film.
Yeah, I know.
He's because of unibrow. You guys are unibrow racists.
No, it's the teeth. It's his teeth. It's his teeth. Do it for me.
Teeth racists.
Okay.
Hey.
Let's move on to our sponsor. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/shoutnowpodcast. There are over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or any kind of MP3 device. For you, the listeners of Out Now, Theron and Abe, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Abe, do you have a book to recommend?
I do. It's sort of related to this week's movie, but not entirely. It's called Dealing with Dragons by Patricia C. Reed. It's narrated by the Words Take Wing Repertory Company of Syracuse, New York. It's on Audible.com, and it's a great story about this very bored princess who just stumbles away into the forest and meets this talking dragon that likes Cherry's Jubilee. It's part of a series. So definitely a fun read. It's for children, yeah, but yeah, I mean, come on.
I was going to say, is that for children? Like Cherry's Jubilee. Right.
Yeah.
Good one. I like that. I like that recommendation. All right. You can download that at audibletrial.com/podcast or any other book you find there, and you get a copy. You can get it for free. You can get a membership for 30 days. If you don't like it, you can get rid of that, but you still get to keep the book. So, you know, go for it. Audibletrial.com/podcast. Moving on, let's get down to feedback.
Feedback.
This is where we go over the many, many different responses to our various Facebook questions that we've asked for you, the listeners, to respond to. And, Abe, you want to start this off?
Certainly. So we asked, what are your thoughts on the Golden Globe nominations? Gerard writes, Rush, which I'm glad got nominated, is in theaters for a very short period of time, but still one of my favorite movies of this year. Rebecca writes, Parks and Rec. And I know they went on a hiatus, but I'm glad that they got nominated as well.
You guys have any, Alex, Mark, you have any thoughts on the Golden Globes? Surprise!
I was pleased to see Rush got nominations, yeah.
Alex, what'd you say?
Alex, did you say screw the Globes?
Yeah, I don't know. I hate that.
Yeah.
Hollywood Foreign Press is a bunch of crap, but no, it is fun because they're the only ones who would nominate these kind of movies, and like the what is it, the comedy or musical category that doesn't really contain a single comedy or musical.
Agreed.
But it's like, you know what, they're good films, so if you're gonna nominate them and feature them, go right ahead. Like Rush is a great film, and I am happy that it gets acclaim, and go for it. But the Globes, whatever.
Okay, so next question we have is favorite film sequels that significantly improved upon the first, which really confused me for some of the responses we're getting here. Significantly improved upon the first, but here we go. Mark, you've had Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan, and A Shot in the Dark, which are good responses.
Yes. I was very pleased with those responses. Yeah. I was waiting for a boom or something, but I didn't see it.
Boom. I said it.
Okay.
April has Catching Fire and Thor 2. So here we go. Mike Jones has Wayne's World 2, Halloween 2, the Rob Zombie Halloween 2, Empire Strikes Back, Dawn of the Dead, and Aliens. I mean, was Aliens like a huge, significant... Okay, whatever. Brandon Peters has From Russia with Love, another great answer. Donnie Salvo has The Godfather Part 2, Empire Strikes Back, Dark Knight, Aliens, T2, and Superman 2.
See, The Godfather Part 2 implies that, like, the first one wasn't good or needed improving. I'm like, wow.
Less weddings, more De Niro. Let's go. Greg has Return of the Living Dead 3, Wes Craven's New Nightmare, and Aliens. Two of those are good choices. Joshua has Evil Dead 2. Jason has The Dark Knight. Danny has Hellboy 2, Terminator 2, and Aliens. Linda has The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And Adam has Beverly Hills Cop 2. See, that's just wrong. I can't get over that one. But more power to you.
It's more funny because there's Paul Reiser in it.
They both have Paul Reiser in them.
Well, Roma, the first one has him riding in a Ferrari. The other one doesn't.
Go on. Next question. Right.
Favorite dragons in film? April writes, Reign of Fire with Matthew McConaughey and Christian Bale. Gerard writes, Reign of Fire. Tammy writes, Falcor, the Luck Dragon. Jim writes, what? Dragon's Lair. What? Falcor from The Neverending Story. He's the Luck Dragon.
So he just looks like a dog.
Yeah, but he's got scales. Friend of the show, Jim Dietz, has Dragon Slayer. Maxwell writes Toothless, Mushu, and Norbert.
Which Norbert?
Norbert, I'm guessing the Eddie Murphy one.
What?
No, that's Norbit. I'm sorry.
What's the dragon Norbert?
I don't know. I'm not sure. We'll have to
Harry
ask
Potter?
Him.
Harry Potter.
Okay.
Possibly, yeah.
You read the book, Zane. You should know this.
Yeah, I think Alex is right.
It is. It's from Harry Potter. Yeah.
Anna writes Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon. Sharon writes Draco, Sean Connery from Dragonheart. Donnie writes Pete's Dragon. Greg writes Pete's Dragon, Norbert, Toothless, the Mutant Donkey, Dragon Donkey Hybrids from Shrek. Jason writes Sean Connery, meaning Draco from Dragonheart. And George, Bruce Lee, nailed it.
Correct, he did.
Good job, George.
That was a good answer. Wait, so is Norbert the one that was, like, imprisoned, and then, like, they got it out? Is that dragon?
No, that's actually a hippogriff.
Oh, a hippogriff, okay.
Yeah, but Norbert is the one that...
What the hell is that? What's a hippogriff? What is that? What?
It's like a falcon slash horse thing that flies.
No, that wasn't... Wasn't that in Azkaban?
Yeah, but...
What was that one?
Norbert is a small dragon that gets taken away because... what's Ron's brothers, he farms dragons, and...
So what's that dragon in the last two movies? That they, like, have to break out of jail or whatever.
Maybe, I don't know. That's a great question.
Good job. Good job, Potterhead.
Sorry.
All right, here's the next question. You're a dragon that just stole a lot of gold. What do you do now? Gerard has take a nap. Mike has hide it in my cave. He has a cave, apparently. Izzy has go to Disneyland. Terrorize children, I'd imagine. Or make them laugh with joy, I don't know. And Greg has get featured on an upcoming episode of Hoarders.
Yeah. It's a lot of gold, though. What's the longest journey you've been on without using a train, plane, automobile, or a boat? Jim writes, hitchhiked from Kent, Ohio to Memphis, Tennessee in the 80s. It's a pretty long journey. Mike writes, I walked the Las Vegas Strip one side down and back up the other. So that is a long time, too. It's very hot. Bob writes, I had this one unexpected journey to there and back again. Wah, wah. Good one. And Graham writes, length doesn't matter. It's always from where you have to... It's always from when you have to poo till you get home.
Thank you, Graham, for that descriptive answer.
Yeah.
Last question. Martin Freeman and Benedict Cumberbatch have teamed up on Sherlock and now The Hobbit. What else should they do together? Jordan has Super Mario Brothers reboot.
Yes.
That'd be fun.
It's me, Mario, Luigi Mario. Dennis has they have the hair for Starsky and Hutch. And Philip has the film story of Kid and Play. I'm not sure which one should rock the high top. So, definitely would watch that, especially if they're in blackface. Very controversial, but I'd enjoy it anyway. All right. Now we have questions for us for that we can respond to that were written out. We got a voicemail.
Woohoo!
Yeah, we got a voicemail from Jason.
Quick air, what's a voicemail line?
That's a good question that I should have right now. I do. It is 972-798-3830. You can send us a voicemail and, you know, just make sure you're indicating that it's our show you want to leave a voicemail to, and we'll be happy to, you know, respond to it on the show. So here we go. I'm gonna play that voicemail.
Hi, out now with Aaron Nade. This is your friend who likes to comment on your questions, Jason Ritter, with a question. With the films that Martin Freeman and Benedict Cumberbatch put out this year, which Martin Freeman or and Benedict Cumberbatch film grossed the highest this year? Not together, but what Martin Freeman's movie you think made the most money, what Benedict Cumberbatch movie made the most money? Keep up the good work.
I'd
say go to www.boxofficemojo.com.
If I had to take a guess, I mean, I think The World's End would be Martin Freeman's biggest one, and then Star Trek Into Darkness would be Benedict Cumberbatch's one, for obvious reasons. So, yeah, thanks, Jason, for that voicemail. It's easy answers, but
first voicemail, thanks.
First voicemail, yeah. Good credit there.
Friend of the show, Jim Deese, asks, 2015 is going to be the most crowded year for big event movies ever. Who will win? Who will lose? Answer, comic books. Loser, independent movies that are an hour and a half long each.
I mean, yeah, obviously 2015 is going to be a huge year for movies, and I think we know lots of them will be very successful, but who will the losers be, I guess, is a good question. Alex, do you have any thoughts?
That was a sad, depressing answer he gave. The indie films that are an hour and a half long are the losers? That's like the exact opposite of what should be happening.
I'm talking about box office revenue-wise.
Well, nonetheless, still.
I won't go see every independent movie made that year.
Yeah, exactly.
He's dropping the gauntlet now. He's going to do it, guys. He's going to see everyone.
Well, I think unless Abrams totally screws the pooch, I think Star Wars is going to be the number one.
Yeah,
and then, again, unless Whedon screws the pooch, Avengers 2 could be neck and neck with it. Like, those are the two, I think, like, the behemoths. Whereas, like, just everyone step aside and let these two just battle it out, essentially.
Yeah.
Losers? I don't know. It's hard to tell.
50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
I'm
curious. Speaking of these independent movies, I'm curious if there's going to be this like backlash where all of a sudden people are going to be like, "Oh, there's too much of this like mainstream Hollywood crap again." And then because this like half of them are more franchise sequels and more just things. So
yeah, I'm looking at a list here. You know, stuff like Mission Impossible 5, Ted 2,
yeah,
Snow White and the Huntsman 2, Ant Man.
Ted 2 is where the bear goes on various talks around Europe and gives little speeches.
about not being an alcoholic and a drug user. Got it.
And things about the solar system. Let's move on to the next question, because this might actually go into who will lose, maybe. Jason asks, do you feel that Superman versus Batman is getting out of hand? And he has a follow-up question as well. Do you think Man of Steel 2 is trying to fit too much in with the additions of Wonder Woman and rumors of Lex Luthor and Metallo? It's not like we're not going to see this movie, but there's a lot going on in the sequel that could have just been Man of Steel 2, but it's now like, you know, Justice League without being called Justice League.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, I think they're finally like, hey, let's do, I think they tested the waters with Man of Steel to see if it would be accepted as a new universe. And then when it made whatever millions it did, they're like, okay, now we can do Justice League, and they're like, well, let's put in Wonder Woman and Batman, and let's actually get that going.
It just seems like there was no testing done. It was just like, well, we made this. Like, now we can, fit other characters in it for some reason.
Well, but the tone of the world and
does the tone suggest that, like, Batman could exist here? Like, did you see that in Man of Steel? Where you're like, Batman could probably fit in pretty well.
He could have used his grappling hook to stop Zod at some point, just to hold him for a few seconds.
Yeah, I'm saying like it's. I would say it's not so much a departure from Nolan's Batman, but it isn't like the same thing.
And I think they're worried. Like, what if you go too far out, then you're going to lose some of those people. But I don't know. I think it could get out of hand very easily. But we have no idea. And it's like every couple of weeks we'll hear like Wonder Woman. No one had any idea she was going to be in it. But who knows who else is going to be in it? And who knows how much she's going to be in it? We don't know.
She's going to show up for like 2 seconds, like in Back to the Future with the original
Elizabeth Shue. And...
No. It wasn't Elizabeth Shue at first. It was somebody else, but with Jennifer.
Jennifer, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mark, do you even care about this? About Superman versus Batman? I know you love Man of Steel with all your heart.
Right. I mean, is the script is written, isn't it, or no?
I assume it's.
Yeah.
I assume at least they have a sketch of what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, I think they just need to focus on writing a coherent and enjoyable story, and whatever characters don't try to just throw characters in there to appeal to fanboy sensibilities. Just write a good story, and if Wonder Woman is a part of that story, great. But if she's not necessary, then don't put her in there.
Yeah. Don't Superman or don't Spider-Man 3 me.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I'm at. I mean, I don't mind the idea of having other characters in it. It's just a matter of if, you know, it works. And, like, Man of Steel, I was more fine with it than Mark was, and I think Abe and I were pretty much on the same page, but it's like, I want to see a movie that's written better next time around rather than a movie that just pleases me in terms of sights I see. And, like, if there's more fist punching, that'll be something too, I guess.
I'll be curious to see how they segue from a movie about Superman to a movie about superheroes.
Yeah, I can for sure.
Because it's very much like just about one guy. It's like how are they going to introduce other people besides like, oh, they're part of the universe, but how does that get explained?
You would think it could be better explained by having multiple movies about superhero and then have one movie about superheroes. I feel like there's some studio that did that pretty effectively.
Yeah, The Asylum.
Yeah, The Asylum. All right.
All right. And our last question is from Joe. Which is better, Breakin' or Beat Street? Not Breakin' 2, just Breakin'.
So he might as well, I mean, just disqualify that one then and just say Beat Street. Like, if you're not taking,
Street. I was going to say Beat Street as
if
well.
If you're not talking Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo, you're not talking about anything. Beat Street has Radon Chong, so.
Yeah, man. Beat Street for life, yo.
There you go.
Street for life, yeah. we're Streets of Fire and all this. That's the real question.
Well, what about Crush Groove?
Ooh, Crush Groove. Ooh. See?
Yeah. That had L Cool J and Sheila E.
Yeah, and ladies love Cool James. So, I mean, it had bonus points right there.
Boom.
Right. I can't wait to put trailers for all of these movies in the show notes.
Your questions. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, thank you, listeners.
We are going to do that. We can reenact them.
I'm putting the links to the trailers in the show notes.
Links, yeah. I thought like in here in the comment section. I was like, yeah, maybe not.
No, we don't need clips from these movies in this damn thing. That'd be ridiculous. Let's move on. Let's get to the box office. Let's just do this quick because we're running long. Yeah. Things happen. Movies made money. Hey, what did you predict last week for the
80 miles per hour?
You did, 88 miles per hour, yeah. And I said 90. I thought it'd do better. Hobbit actually did a little bit, not worse, but didn't do as strong as an Unexpected Journey. It made $73 million this weekend as opposed to $84 last weekend. And that might be due to tempered expectations or because there's plenty to see right now, but whatever. It's not going to not make more money. It's going to make a lot of money and everybody will be happy. And then we'll see the next one. Anything else in the box office? Not really. American Hustle.
What about a Madea Christmas?
Madea Christmas got third place, $16 million, lower than previous Madea starring movies because Frozen's just that good. It's still in second place ahead of it. Mm. But yeah, Mark, I'm sure your tickets for Madea's Christmas tomorrow, I'll look forward to that review. We'll see where that goes.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Let's.
Have you seen this?
I don't see Madea movies or things that have Tyler Perry in the title, except Alex Cross, which I still haven't seen. I still haven't crossed Alex Cross. Once it goes on Netflix streaming.
He was in Star Trek, wasn't he?
He was in Star Trek. Yeah, but it's not like I didn't know that at the time, so he tricked me. That was
right.
That was what the problem was. And I'm still convinced that if Tyler Perry was the one that died at the beginning of Into Darkness, since it had like random black family, that would have made that movie all the better. Anyway, let's move on now. Let's move on to what time is it, Abe?
Oh, Aaron, I think it's time for some Xylophone back games. That was smoggy this year.
Smoke them if you got them. So let's move here. Smoke,
smokeless. Smogrific.
Here we go. First game. First of two. Short games. This first one's called Elf Say What?
Woo! What?
And these are quotes from elf characters in various movies, and you have to identify the movie and character for bonus point.
Great.
Should be pretty straightforward. Here's the first quote. This place reminds me of Santa's workshop, except it smells like mushrooms and everyone looks like they want to hurt me.
Elf.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell.
The correct answer is...
Buddy the Elf.
Buddy the Elf.
Oh, it's... Buddy the Elf.
Well, yeah, the movie's called Elf. I said name the movie. If you name the character, you get bonus points.
Or the character. Yeah, I didn't name the character.
Yeah, but Alex did, and you got bonus points for it. So he has 2 points, you have one. let's put out the reminder. Yeah, well, shut up, Abe.
Yeah. Listen to the rules, come on.
Yeah, come on. So just to reiterate, say your name first and then shout out the answer. That's so you can, so you buzz
Abe,
in that.
Buddy the Elf.
No, you already lost that one, Abe.
Oh, sorry.
Here's the next one. If I call you next December, you're gonna be so happy to hear from me, you're gonna do goddamn backflip. You're gonna put on that Santa hat so fast you're gonna get effing hat burn.
Abe, Bad Santa.
Bad Santa is the correct answer.
Awesome.
You see, screw for a loop.
Would be
there.
So vulgar.
Yeah.
What movie would be so vulgar to have that?
I don't know what that elves did.
Okay. Like that. Here's the next one. This might be tricky. It means you put on the suit, you're the big guy.
Abe, the Santa Claus.
The yeah. Santa Claus is the correct answer. Do you know the name of that elf?
Is that guy's
yeah,
name
Bernard.
Buddy too?
It oh, is Bernard. No, you got Abe got the
I love Bernard the Elf.
Do you know who he's played by?
That guy from the Jewish guy.
The Jewish you're right, the Jewish guy. Numbers himself, David Krumholtz.
Yeah.
Here's the next one. There's no strength left in the world of men.
Abe, Elrond.
Yep, it's Elrond.
Woo!
Hmm.
I haven't won a game in a very long time.
I know, this is surprising me too. Here's the next one. This one's in regard to a policeman who stormed into a Santa's workshop. It's the Grinch! Scatter!
Policeman that storms into an elf workshop?
Christmas classic, this movie.
Sounds like the Grinch. But I don't know. I don't like the Grinch remake.
I don't know.
Any guesses?
No.
It is from Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way?
Yeah, good old Turbo Man.
Christmas classic. Last one. Last one here. You sit on a throne of lies.
Abe, Buddy the Elf?
That is correct. Yes, it is Buddy the Elf.
Yes!
Wow.
Yes!
All right.
Woo! 1-1.
W-O-N. You're right. Yeah.
I was waiting for Hermie, the elf from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. No quotes from him.
You know, I had that for the. I had a Hermie. I had, like, wrote Hermie, and I was going to look up the quote for it, but then I had like.
It had something about I want to be a dentist or something.
Yeah.
I had too many as it was. I wanted to stop it so I can get this next game. Here's the next game. We played this. We've played this a couple times. We played this last year in last year's Hobbit Pep episode. It is Celebrity Tweets. This is, of course, the game where you're supposed to identify the person that made this tweet from a celebrity. They'll all be Hobbit-related. They shouldn't be too hard. Okay. Here we go. Here's the first one. I hate spiders, but I love stabbing them.
Martin Freeman.
This is Martin Freeman, yeah. It's a tweet from Martin Freeman. Put that one out there. Here's the next one. They might as well have called my part of the film Detective Gandalf's Adventures.
McKellen?
Yeah, McKellen. Ian McKellen. Yeah, it's not hard. His next tweet's called, or says, bigger, longer, and uncut, # that's what I call my sword.
Peter Jackson?
It's Orlando Bloom. That's an Orlando Bloom tweet.
Sounds like him.
Let's see, here's the next one. I had to go through Middle Earth boot camp as I knew I'd be a big addition to the series. I had to go through Middle Earth boot camp as I knew I'd be a big addition to the series.
Evangeline Lilly?
It's a good guess. That's a Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert put that.
Oh, yeah. Right!
Did you know he was in the movie?
He was, yeah. He was the guy with the eye patch that goes down.
I saw him credited in the movie. I was like, oh yeah, Stephen Colbert was supposed to be.
Wait, he's the eye patch guy in Lake Town, you mean?
Yeah, in Lake Town.
He has like him and his family right there.
Yeah, I also forgot that Peter Jackson's going Quentin Tarantino and being in his own movies.
He does that in all his movies, yeah.
Mm. He's
like the first shot of this one.
Yeah, yeah. He pulled a Hitchcock in this one, where he's just like, get it out of the way.
Right from the start.
Yeah.
Like, it was like one of the first things you see in the film.
Yeah,
That got applause in my theater.
They got booze and... No, I'm just kidding.
Move that fat guy out of the way. He used to be skinny.
That guy's not a hobby. Alright.
My female fan should know that I did all the motion capture in the nude.
Benedict Cumberbatch. Mark Hogan.
That is Mikhail Persbrandt, who played Bjorn, the skin changer, of course, as he says, a huge fan. It's obviously one of his tweets, obviously.
That's right. He did do a lot of nude scenes, yeah.
He's big in Scandinavia.
Yeah.
Last one. Next year should be a big game changer, as a lot of loose ends are going to be tied together.
Executive producer Fran Walsh?
It is director James Gunn regarding Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, the hashtag The Hobbit was okay.
That
was
perfect. Yeah, because you know that part in Thor 2 confused me.
They're all going to kind of tie together. All right, so that's celebrity tweets.
Woohoo! That's
celebrities. All right, almost done here. Out Now presents What's Out Now. These are movies that are coming out on Blu-ray, DVD in the near future, or this Tuesday. Not near future, really near future. When this podcast arrives, actually. First up, we have The Lone Ranger.
Boo.
Yeah, it's
all right. I'm curious what the reaction will be once people like see it's like, oh, that wasn't that bad. Like, that's what it's going to be, pretty much.
This extended version makes much more sense.
That looked expensive. Elysium.
Yeah, it's all right. It's not bad. Which is sad, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is.
Kick-Ass 2.
It should have been woohoo, but yeah, it's all right. It's not bad.
Kick-Ass 2.
This is the week of, it's all right, it's not bad.
Yeah, really. Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters.
Didn't see it.
Yeah, okay, that one I don't know.
Not terrible. I mean, Mark knows, or Mark saw the first one. I told Mark it has less fun dancing sequences, so, I mean, that's a plus right there.
With Lady Gaga.
Prisoners.
Oh, that's a good movie.
No, that was good.
Like Prisoners.
You know, I actually feel like Jake Gyllenhaal should have gotten more acclaim for his performance. I haven't really heard of that.
I'm surprised he didn't get a Golden Globe nomination. Like, that seemed like that was ripe for Golden Globe.
He's getting it now with the Aaron Abe nomination, though. Best Supporting Actor.
Best Actor? He's co-star.
Oh, Best Actor. There you go.
Who gets the job done? Jake Gyllenhaal.
Well, you know, Red Whistle is there, too. Come on. I mean, that Red Whistle deserves an Oscar nomination.
The Family.
Didn't see it.
That's already on video. Wow, that just came out.
Well, so is Prisoner. Prisoners came out after The Family.
Oh, did it? Oh, okay.
Ain't Them Body Saints. Did anybody else see this movie? Mark, did you see this movie?
Yes, I mentioned it in one of our Out Now
cookies. I thought so, yeah.
Damn. And actually, I was surprised that you were so kind of lukewarm about it. I would have thought you would have enjoyed it more. I think the movie is improved by seeing it in a theater on a big screen with the sound and all that.
I wouldn't deny that ideal situations could make it a better experience, but that said, I mean, I watched other movies that are in the same kind of ilk that I enjoyed much more. So I don't know why.
There was something I was going to mention that didn't make sense, that you didn't care for this, but you loved something else, but I can't remember what that movie was now.
All right. If you can think of it, let me know because I'm curious.
But you said you were bored by it.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
It's just lukewarm.
Morgan Squirlock's One Direction, This Is Us.
I heard it was pretty good.
Morgan Squirlock presents One Direction. That's the new title.
Oh, God.
Well, they can market it, like, you know, in, like, art theaters, they can do it, you know, market it that way. And
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing this at some point. I'm not bracing out today. If it's on Netflix streaming at some point, I'll, like, be like, all right.
Well, have you watched any of these things like the Justin?
Yeah, I did. I watched the Justin Bieber one, which I liked quite a bit.
He's got a new one coming out.
That I don't need to see that one, but I like the like that was before he had like all this money and was like really cocky. Like that was just when he was starting out.
When he was humble.
And it was from the director of Step Up 3D and Step Up to the Streets, and G.I. Joe Retaliation. Like it was John M. Chu. And lastly, Ghost Team 1, we interviewed the directors on this podcast.
Yeah, we
Scott and Ben, and they're a lot of fun to talk to, and I laughed at this movie. So.
I saw the trailer, it was good.
Alright, so that's that. Let's move on. Let's get to next week's show. Next week, I think we're going to talk about American Hustle and Anchorman 2. That's a tentative plan right now. I don't know if we'll have mini episodes where we talk about some of these big movies in smaller bursts, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. I don't even want to do box office predictions. Like, there's no reason to.
For Anchorman, it would be.
Anchorman, I guess. Yeah, it'll be the biggest release, and it comes out on a Wednesday, so it's hard to predict.
You can predict what's going to be number one. I'll say Anchorman.
I can say Anchorman. I can say that. All right, so let's get out of here. Let's do this. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Out Now with Aaron and Abe. You can find more of my work on my personal blog, thecodazeek.com. You can find all my written movie reviews, as well as at whysoblue.com for Blu-ray reviews. We're also doing all our top 10 lists at whysoblue for the next couple weeks, so be sure to check those out. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/aaronsps4. Abe?
You can find more fun stuff at walrusmoose.blogspot.com and twitter.com/walrusmoose. Hashtag The Last of Us. I finally finished it. Yes.
That's a long hashtag.
Yeah.
Mark?
You can find more of my work on fastfilmreviews.com. That's right. Just fastfilmreviews.com.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's been new and improved. And also you can follow me on Twitter, Mark_Hoban.
Alex?
As usual, I'm at First Showing on Twitter and everything online at firstshowing.net. Thanks, as always.
Great. You can, of course, find all the other episodes of Out Now with Aaron and Abe on iTunes and at Stitcher. Also, hhwld.com, that is the podcast network that hosts our show, along with the other shows like the Walking Dead TV podcast, the Ichapod Crane cast, which I am on both of those, and other shows about comics and games and other fun stuff like that.
Also, find us over at outnow.podomatic.com, as well as youtube.com/outnowpodcast.
outnowpodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to email us, let us know your thoughts on The Hobbit, the series in general, where do you think it's going, how do you think it's going so far.
Interact with us over at facebook.com/outnowpodcast and also at twitter.com/outnow_podcast.
And of course, we have our Tumblr, outnowpodcast.tumblr.com, and feel free to use our new voicemail, 972-798-3830. Send us your thoughts in vocal form.
Woohoo!
All right, so that's going to do it. Thank you, Alex and Mark, for sticking around for this very long show to talk The Hobbit with us.
Sure, thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure.
And until next time, stay classy, and so long.
And adios, and goodbye, San Diego.
Smog. I think it's Smog.
Smog. Ballin'.